The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Life's a Gamble. So, your host, Melvin Prince Jonathan. And so, I'm up and down today. You know, I don't know if I got good news or bad news, but I'm going to share this with you. First of all, I just put a call in the SEPTA to ask them if they can stop all of the buses from running so we can find Andrea, since there are so many people throwing her under the bus. You know, Andrea Lawful Sanders, shout out to Andrea Lawful Sanders, former employee of Word, URD, gave 100% of who she was, let us know who she was, either by social media or the radio itself, moved from a slot of 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 4 o'clock in the morning. And it just seems like the appreciation of what was done was a big smack in the face. And I don't know why we so accustomed to eating our own, embarrassing our own. Clearly, whatever happened was a sit down moment, was a learning moment. And just to think, a week ago, she was in a journalistic conference where she spent a whole week learning how to do her job just a little better, learning how to work with people just a little more. And it's saddened today for me to hear that she had to part ways the way she has parted ways. You know, sometimes you leave radio and go to TV. You transition. But to leave radio with a bunch of knobs in your back, you know, I don't understand. And this whole thing with scripted, you know, kick rocks. She interviewed Joe Biden. He's 81 years old. The report to Congress said that he may not have been fit to run, but with all due respect, she dealt with him as if he was an elder. And I don't have a nickel in this quarter. I'm not a strong Democrat to no extent. I've always been Republican. But at some point in time, when you got councilmatic prerogatory, then she should have host prerogatory. She should be able to see the beatdown that he took from that debate, the senior moments that he'd had from that debate, and win or lose. I thought it was a good interview. I thought she asked him questions and she gave him a chance to prepare. And most of you know me from doing that commercial with Eyes about Fetterman when he was running for office. And the first thing I was telling Eyes was, stop, let him speak. If he can't speak, that will speak volumes. But when you challenge a man, when you kick him when he's down, depending on who that man is, it does more damage for you and for your career. You know, no one was going to save this young lady if she started asking him questions. If she started asking questions to Joe Biden about his son, Hunter Biden, did he get 10% of the proceeds when he got paid, or did he have anything to do with cutting deals in the White House, making phone calls for his son and stuff like that? She chose not to ask him those questions. Would not have made her a better host if she did ask him those questions. But the questions she asked him and how she conducted and carried herself, kudos. You know, hip hip hooray, the fact that you guys have taken pictures off social media and parading her around and criticizing her and putting her back up against the wall, you know, and making her close up and shut down. It's ridiculous. You're cowards. You are cowards. Because guess what? If it was a non-African-American station, you guys would be in uproar and she'd be rumbling and she'd be fighting. But it was all, it was one woman felt that they should have contacted her. So I don't understand this. Explain this to me. The audio person, the program person, the person who works the board, the person who recorded, all that stuff is paid for by the station. All those people are paid for by the station. Why did you approve it? They got paid to do this interview. You clearly did this interview. And then you broadcast it a couple of days later. If you had reservations, if you had issues, why broadcast it? Why do anything? If your owner and your boss is on an airplane ride for 16 hours, and when she got off, y'all delivered the information, so why not wait till she come back? It was not crucial that you needed to shoot this debate out there. I mean, shoot this interview out there right now. You could have held the interview till the last week before the election. But when you got the deceitfulness in your heart to come after somebody and to ruin them, and we can always find somebody with a degree or two behind their names, and you just so happy. Remember, you got generational politicians and generational people. It is pathetically awful that you can get somebody to get on there and doctor, rapping professor, or whatever he called himself and stuff like that. That's ridiculous. No one should have stood up. I remember her 6 months ago standing up for this young man who was denied tenure at Temple, and I can kind of see why. You stand 10 toes down for those people that you can support. We're a little angry today, but I'm going to get through it. Got a call already. Maurice.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Maurice, how are you?
I'm disgusted right now, brother.
And the prophet. Let me just make sure Maurice the prophet. That's what we call him, the prophet. You know, it's embarrassing because at the end of the day, if you guys say that the president is fragile, right, and Congress right. has said that the president is fragile, and there's a good chance it's going to be a low turnout anyway because a lot of people are disappointed in him and his administration. So the thing about it is that level of discretion that she has shown to an old man, I got respect for that. You know, I cheer that on. You know, I don't understand how we could lose the ability. And this is where you miss the grandmoms. And this is where you miss the granddads and stuff like that, where you're willing to accept somebody beating down a senior or an elder. And because he has that title of President of the United States, he's always going to have that title, like he's always going to have vice president title, like he's always going to have senator title, because those are things that was earned. But in the mere fact of him having a respectful, decent interview, you got people talking about, well, we don't do scripted this or we don't do scripted that. Well, okay, Maurice, tell me this. How come you give on Saturday 20 minutes of the show is given to somebody who does not have a doctor's degree in these schools, who does not have any children in these schools right here? So you got more educated and better learned people who have been in those rooms, but yet you got somebody talking to you. You didn't vote on that. You didn't ask for that. When you was paying membership, you didn't pay a membership for that. How come Wednesday you got somebody cousin that come on and tell you what he think, and he's in D.C., about policies, about procedures, and about stuff that go on in Philadelphia? You know, are those things scripted? Are you scripted to give me that information? Because I don't want it.
Well, they always say that's not the way they do it. But we know and they know that they do it all the time. I mean, they're just in complete denial. Our media, and says that's not what's going on. They were promoted in advance, and you don't know that it's going on. That sounds... I don't understand that, and
this is pathetically awful. So if you are in control of your house,
right,
and somebody that you let in your house decide to take something out your house, And when they came back, you recognize that it's no longer there, right? You still have the ownership of governing your house. So no one's challenging the fact that you said that we had no idea the White House went around the administration and went straight to her with these questions. And so when I listened to the owner of the station say, we were just down there. We built a relationship with the White House, and we were there on the lawn interviewing folks who work and come in and out of this building right here. So did you build a relationship with them when you was down there? Because there's no way if you built a relationship with them, then they would have went around you to go directly to. And how could they go to her if you paying all the people to do the services for her?
Well, you know, our black men, let me put it like this. So-called black men claims that they are journalists. And I think they're faking the game. That's just my thoughts alone. Because they know how it works. It's just like somebody coming in my house, walk in my house, open my refrigerator and drink a beer. You know what's going on in your house. You know certain things you don't do. She's not going to come after being away and get the biggest interview they ever had and bring it and broadcast the program without nobody knowing. Hey, it's foolish to even think that could happen, and they should be ashamed to admit that somebody was able to do that. That's what they say. Now they got people who admire that person. They wake up 5 o'clock in the morning. They hear them talk. Now they left with nothing. They left with a guy right now, hopefully not, that can't even get tenure. I don't understand what's going on.
Well, here's the thing, right here. I think that number one, you know, he was trying to be smart when he was talking to George by saying the views expressed by the hosts and the callers are not the views. We get that. But this was pre-recorded, idiot. You should, if there was a problem, you had the tape to just not release it. You had the audio. You never had to play this interview until later on down the road. But the problem that I have is that for her to be posted on all of these outlets that are going national, this wasn't the way she wanted to go national. This was not the way. She had no intentions to be on somebody's radar. And you want to know what's devastating, Maurice?
Yes.
Is that the time she talked about her kids, grandkids, and as a mom and as a grandmom, and those people are so proud of her that you let a bunch of people just rip your family apart. not indirectly, directly. They knew exactly what they were doing. The manager gets on a show on a station that she owns, you know, and she has the nerve and the audacity. You know, we embraced her based on embracing the history of the station. We embraced her based on embracing the longevity of this communication outlet. But we've not ever seen her in our neighborhoods unless there was an event. She ain't sitting down doing no cold beer with you. There's only two people from that station that live in this city right here. The rest of them live outside the city. They really don't want to be a part of you. And all those who look like you aren't your kind. I believe in that. I breathe that energy now. It is just ridiculous how y'all let these people talk to you. They put titles behind their names. All these degrees people, most of them got fired during COVID. They don't have no trade in them. They don't have no skills in them. The whole part of having the degrees is so you can manipulate, so you can convince people, so you can sound like you're smarter than certain people. And usually you're when you heard the person this morning, he'd been let go before. Smart enough to get fired. Smart enough to get let go. He knows how it go. He knows how the game go. I've been let go before. Somebody said they've been a journalist for 30 years. I'm a journalist for 30 years. I've been in journalism for 30 years. I've done this job before. Wait a minute. Hold on. Because in that 30 years, we've seen you out on the street with no shoes on with a real bad crack addiction. So the drug addiction you was on, was it within that 30-year time? Because you sound like you hadn't made a mistake or two. Help me out, Maurice.
I can't speak up for this guy because right now I'm disgusted because it sounds like somebody is jealous of somebody else's performance and they're so glad that they're gone.
She took over all, you know how you go there and shatter the numbers? You know, you do better than anybody else. You've been moved from a afternoon slot to a 4 o'clock in the morning. You got people rising up at the break of dawn, walking dogs, going to the gym, you know, and listening. And you got people listening. People are calling in. People are actively a part of the conversation. And although it's 2 hours, you got some people who go back to sleep at 7 o'clock because they don't need to be up there early in the morning. But they get up. And you got a person who decided to say, hey, I'm going to put everything I have and do this. And I'm going to be fair to people. I'm not going to hang up on people. I'm not going to think I'm better than people. You know, I'm going to call you when you... when you're going through some correction, or I'm going to call you to see how you feel about, are you okay today? You know, I'm going to show up in places after I had take my husband to get his cancer treatment and stuff like that. But I'm still going to make it because I made a commitment to making it.
That's right.
Hold that thought, Maurice. I'm going to take my first break, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk on the other side.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country as a Navy SEAL. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. And I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed. Paralyzed Veterans of America was by my side from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments. The benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
I will hug my mom.
I can't wait to embrace my brothers and sisters from choir.
We ask people what they would do when they get back to their loved ones.
I'll do a big barbecue and squeeze every face in my family. My brother, he better be ready for that bear hug, too.
I need to hug my girls.
Millions of people are getting vaccinated. It's our chance to get back to what we miss so much safely. And for people at higher risk of COVID-19 complications because of diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart conditions, or if you're a heart attack or stroke survivor, the COVID-19 vaccine is an important choice. With every vaccine, we are closer to a future free of COVID-19. The vaccines are safe, effective, and the right response. Getting back to life. Set your heart on it. It's up to you. For more information, go to heart.org/vaccine. A message from the American Heart Association.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away,
know when to run. Okay, Maurice, we're back.
Yes.
So Maurice, so the name of this show is called Life's a Gamble. And so whereas they had a chance to roll the dice, based on having the president of the United States here and interviewing the president of the United States. And once again, Maurice, I don't have a nickel in this quarter. You already know my party. You already know what it is that I root for. You already know that, what I support. But I support everybody. I support everybody. You know, I wrote a book a while ago called Philly Roulette, The Gamble That Failed. You know, and this situation clearly could be a part two. This book right here was a top seller. It spoke about corruption inside the city and how politics could make for a very, very bad disposition for a bunch of folks and stuff. And this seems like the gamble that failed. Maurice, what do you think?
I think that it shows how, as black Democrats, we don't take a chance. We don't roll the dice. We stuck on stupid.
Well, look. Look, man, I thank you for calling in, man. I'm going to take this next caller, man. And you know you got a home here every Monday from 2 to 3. So thank you for calling. I'm going to take the next call. Okay, Maurice? Okay.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And how are you, dear good brother Prince?
I'm very well. Prince, how are you? Peace?
One can't complain, my good brother. One can't complain.
So I got through talking to a brother, Maurice, the prophet, the blind prophet, and having that conversation, he was just short-winded because he was hurt. He was disturbed. Like, we took something away from him. You know what I mean? You know, he just coming back off of his little hiatus, you know, by a bunch of people who, you know, didn't want correctness, and now they have removed, you know, his voice. You know, he thought he had a voice. You know, for him to be blind, some of his other sensors is what he uses. And so, it's good to talk to you, man, because I need a point of reasoning. I need to understand, because I almost feel like, you know, black women are destroying other black women. They're kind of eating each other, you know. And you said this months ago when I think Miss Keir Gray was running. You know, you said that the apple cart going to be overturned by the people who look like her and the gender that she is and the women are jealous of her.
You have a group of women in this city that hates, I mean, literally the word hate. They hate Sherelle Parker and they hate Keir Gray, you know, and that's the way it is. I mean, people don't like to face the truth. They, you know, as they say, they believe what they want to believe and they live in this, you know, fantasy type world of thinking that, you know, these things can't happen. They won't do this. Let me tell you, this is the worst thing in the world, is to see two black women get into a petty fight, or black women group, whatever you want to call it, get into pettiness. And what's more petty than women getting into petty fights?
What,
and that's what,
you know what, man? So,
is happening in this city.
So I remember when I wrote the book, Philly Roulette, The Camera That Fell. I was like, George, I got to give you this. Remember I came to you and I gave you that book?
Yes, you
did. And you was like, oh, wait a minute. And Andrea took that book and she read it. She read every page in that book. She highlighted certain things. And when I was on her show, she gave me the time, 20 minutes it might have been, maybe 18. And she, as if she verbatim went through every page of that book. And the question she asked me was, does the person that who you written this book about know that this book has been published about them? And she said, I've called them up. And they would not return my phone call. And she says, nobody has come to refute this book right here, The Gamble That Failed. Philly Roulette, The Gamble That Has Failed. And but, I say, because like George, hold on, George. I say, because like George, I do my homework. I do my due diligence. You know, I if I'm not in the room, I'm opening the door for people to go in the room. So me and George not going to tell you something. We're not going to tell you what we think. You probably never know what we think, but you'll actually know the truth from us because we've been there. Am I right?
You're absolutely right in that, Prince. And I pride myself, and I learned, you know, being in the streets and, you know, law enforcement, everything being on your neck. One thing you learn is that they never ask you anything they don't know the answer to.
Exactly.
So you take their philosophy and you don't talk about anything that you know not to be. You either have to know it to be factual or know where it's documents, you know, and I respect that. I just respect the system of that I never talk about things I don't know to be true. I know it for it to be a fact. And I take pride in that because it's the naysayers, the haters. They can always try to find something wrong. Oh, he said this wrong. He said saying this, he said that. You know, that's how petty they are. But let me talk about these petty selfish.
Hold on, before you do that. You and I only tell a person once. Remember that. So we learned that from boxing. Remember, we tell you, okay, when you throw that jab, don't drop your hand. We tell you don't do that. Why? Because once we tell you one time and you get this ego that you're going to do what you want to do, and when you get hit with that overhand right, then that's all we need to do is say it once, because the results of it is going to teach you why you shouldn't drop that hand after you throw that jab. Am I correct?
You're right. But, you know, in instances that people understand sports and understand different things, then, you know, you could talk to them in that language. But you have to find the language that people understand. You know, like if you're a history teacher, you can't go in there talking about music. And if you're a music professional, you can't go in there talking about science.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you have certain teachers at these universities that teach things that they have no degree. You pay all that money to go to school to learn about a jazz festival, or you go there to learn about Black history. And unless you're going to have a job in Black history, why are you taking the course?
Let me just give you an example.
I mean, not unless you just want to have a feel good.
Let me give you an example.
Let me get back to something.
We got time. Don't worry. We ain't going nowhere. So to your point, I was president of student government at Cheyenne University, and the professor who was teaching health had to have a master's degree in the health field, and she had a master's degree in human services, but she had an undergrad degree in recreation. And so what had happened was when we went to the board and say, in order for us to get credit or accreditation for the credits that we take, the teachers got to be in line with the board, with the credit accreditation. And because she did not have a master's in health administration, she was let go the next semester. Because if they didn't let her go, then if somebody didn't audit, then our credentials on our degrees would not have stood. So go ahead, to your point, you should be certified in whatever you teach with the various degrees and stuff like that. But go ahead, to your point.
See, the thing is that, you know, people spend a lot of money going to school, you know, to be in things. And when you send your kids to school, you're not paying for something that they're not going to be using, you know.
Right.
And I just believe in that. Most of my, now I'm, you know, paying for my grandkids to go to school. Fortunate enough, I was blessed enough that my kids don't have school debt. You know, I always made sure that they went to school, they went to good schools. And thanks to a couple people that I didn't have to pay nothing for books. And they went to the best of colleges. But I told them, do not waste time and degrees on some foolishness that you can't in your field of working. One of my daughters is an archaeologist. Now she works in forensic science. You know, and well, she gets good pay.
Tell me about what you think about this morning. Tell me about what you think about what happened to Andrea.
Oh, which way? It's a couple
Andrea,
things happened.
Tell me which one. Because every time I look at my phone, the algorithm has her popping up everywhere.
The point is that if however it went, if she got fired or she quit or however, the point is that from what I understand and what I see is that
she
everybody
quit.
Was happy with
she
that.
Didn't, she didn't get fired. She,
however,
she, I'm trying
I
to tell
know.
You, somebody talked to her as if she was less than a person, called themselves reprimanding her, and they did it in a way where it's intolerable. Nobody has to tolerate that. And so you don't.
Absolutely. Nobody just tolerates disrespect. You know, you give respect to a dog.
One of the four cardinal principles of my fraternity is manhood. At some point in time, you could correct me, but you can't scream and holler at me. I'm not your child. You don't pay to scream and holler at me. At the end of the day, if I made a mistake, I thought it would have been generous if the lady who owned the station would have just came on with her in the 5 o'clock hour and had that conversation of the do's and don'ts.
But the point is that I'm trying to find out, and I'm trying to find an answer, but nobody answered. The whole thing is that management makes the decisions. And
right.
The thing is that Ernest Owens, is he management? Is Ernest Owens
CEO? I don't even know him. I don't know him. I may have heard him a few times, but that's not my...
Right.
I mean, they have to handle
what
that.
What I'm saying is,
because I heard you say that this morning, but
right,
I don't
he's
know
an
him.
Employee. I don't know what he is, employee or
he
whatever.
He could be a contractor.
But
he could be a contractor.
He's a host. He's a half $2.50 a host.
Right.
Okay. He covers city council, and he don't know what he's doing on that. But now I'm not the dog. My thing is that he was speaking on behalf of URD, which is they said that is violations. You know, they said Andrea violated the policy. Why is it that he violated the policy speaking on behalf of URD and he's not fired?
But I can't
that's
speak towards that because I don't
oh,
know him.
That's right, I understand.
Yeah, because, you
well,
know, this
you
ain't our station.
Him.
This ain't their station. This
right.
ain't their station. And what they do over there, obviously, is causing some chaos and pandemonium. But hey,
well, whatever
it's caused, about that.
Whatever it's caused is that, you know, I'm talking about Andre. You know, mm-hmm. you can't say something is handled with one and not handled with the other.
Exactly. I agree you with you on that. I agree wholeheartedly.
I agree
with
this here. Nobody even knew about the station. The station is what? They had the Nielsen ratings, so that means they have 20,000 listeners with a 10-watt radius, okay?
Well, I think it's 1,000. It's 1,000 because we got 10,000. Okay. We 10,000 over here, so I know we're bigger. But look, you got the last 30 seconds. I got Clyde and I got Wanda on the line waiting.
Right.
So,
you know,
finish up.
I just hope that, you know, these black women come together. And let me say this here, Francis.
Go ahead.
You can talk about this next week.
Okay.
I love Sherelle Parker because so far, everything she says she's going to do, she do. Now, the next one she's going to put in a place is District Council 47. Mark my words.
Monday, we're going to talk.
Have immigrants.
You got a home here. Monday, we're going to talk because these folks ain't going back to work.
Okay, they ain't going back to work. They're going to get fired.
We
you know what
Monday,
fire means? See what Reagan did?
They ain't going back to work.
They're going to get fired.
They
won't have their job.
They ain't going back to work. All right, look, I'm going to talk to Clyde, and then I'm going to talk to Wanda. Thanks, George. You know you got a home
Ask
here.
Ask them about it. Ask them if they're going to get fired or if they're going to keep their job.
So,
remember,
this
is a
are we rolling in dice?
State.
Are we rolling dice or are we passing them?
Oh, listen, we can book these. I'm going to book these.
Talk to you later, George. All right.
All right, got you.
Clyde. Brother Clyde,
Frank,
how are you?
How are you, sir?
Are we rolling the dice today, or are we passing them?
Oh, we definitely rolling, man.
All right. I forgot to ask Maurice that. I might have to text him to see if we rolling or passing. But so far, we rolling them. So.
Mr. Piggyback off of George.
Uh-huh.
And these people that don't want to go back to work.
Right.
What in the Sam Hill? I mean, come on, man.
Why? Listen. You spoiled this town. Are you kidding me? Look at this situation right here. This is a union town. Those are union employees. They were the ones who voted for this mayor to get in office. They supported her initiative of being the first African American mayor, the first African American female mayor. The vice president came and ain't go nowhere else but the two her house, which is scripted on who was going to be mayor. If you want to call things scripted. You know, sometimes we need some regulations where it could be scripted so we know the outcome. Because at the end of the day, they filed a lawsuit not to go back to work, right? It may seem asinine. It may seem stupid. But at the end of the day, it is the pill that we take in this city right here. When the unions require something or demand something, you know, and it's got to be a contradiction because these are the same unions who supported her to get in office. And now she's making it mandatory. You're talking 4 years of a single mom who had to watch her kids at home, you know, who saved money on daycare, who probably picked up a little job on some Uber Eats or some Lyft, you know, from, you know, periodically in between doing her job the best that she can do. And so now you're either stripping her of the income she've accumulated over being home and working, or you're forcing her to spend money she don't have by getting on the transportation, finding somewhere to park, eating lunch in Center City, which is three times as much as it was 4 years ago. So you're not really seeing it both ways. And I really hate when people get in positions where they get gas cards, they get free parking, they get a paycheck, they get a staff, they get all these people, and then they want to govern the lives of people, and then we the fourth or the first largest, poorest big city?
I mean... I understand everything that you just said, but I'm clear on everything that you just said. But I was told as a young man, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Yeah, but that's not the case here. That's why we have unions, because this was, for a long time, this is an at-will city right here, and they can fire you and not blink an eye. And so the unions helped stabilize people It's helped stabilize people. Mm-hmm. So you don't get somebody who just got a bad domestic situation that they came from, and they taking the attitude out on you at the job and stuff like that. So I don't, you know, and once again, I don't have a nickel in this quarter. This is you guys are eating each other. You know, this is a whole Democratic fight. We don't have enough Republicans to combat you right now. But like anything, things changes. You know what I mean? We don't have enough Republicans right now, but we're working on it. You know, everything seems to be working in our favor. You know, you keep coming at the tough line, Don, and you know, and he keep winning, you know. And so, you know, we're hoping he wins presidency, but we don't know. We don't know. Go ahead. You got the last 30 seconds. I'm going to grab Wanda. I'm going to grab Ms. Mary.
I'm still mystified by that. I mean, I grew up working, so I'm mystified. About your other topic, I'll just say something briefly. Like, we need a sense of balance and fairness.
There you
That's
go.
All because if that interview was in the can,
yeah,
and then you decided to broadcast it,
yeah,
the day after everybody was informed,
yeah,
you could have shut it down.
Exactly,
if that was the case.
You had it.
Could have shut it down.
You already
you
recorded
shut it completely down.
Yeah, you could have aired it in October.
It was already in the can.
Right.
So you could have just went like, unfortunately, we're unable to do this. Technical difficulty, the lies that people make up.
Exactly.
So,
right.
You know.
But why go ahead? Why hurt somebody who left a 2 o'clock slot, didn't give you any gripe about that, supported your initiative of what you wanted to do, built up a 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning slot, and then that's how you treat them? That's how you treat? If you know if she was a Republican, we would have gave her, we'd have kept her at the same pay rate, moved her to the basement, but still gave her income and dignity to feed her family.
And then you have the morning host bragging about all the stuff that he's done. It's like, you know, it's like you and George do things, no accolades or anything like that there.
Right.
Humble people don't talk about all the stuff that they've done. They just keep doing it.
That's all you can do.
And the creator will bless you.
He said, I've been doing this for 30 years. I'm like, wait a minute. There was a period of time in that 30 years you was walking the street barefooted on crack for a real long time. You know, everybody's seen you. Don't ever talk about that part. Now that you should talk about it, I get it. But why are you going to throw somebody else under the bus like it's all been peachy and cream
exactly.
for you?
It's just terrible, particularly a black woman.
Mm. All right, Wanda Walker, man. He got a home here on Monday from 2 to 3, man. Make sure you give me a call, and I'm going to talk to Wanda.
Sir.
Next call, Wanda Walker. Hello?
Thank you for taking my call. And I will have to agree with you. I know there's two sides to every story.
Something in your background is a little loud. You think you can cut it down for me?
Okay, it must be my air conditioner, so let me turn that off.
Okay.
Is that better?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. So I would have to agree with you. When this story first broke on, I think, Saturday, when I heard about it, the first thing I thought was that it was a live interview that took place Friday morning or whatever. And then when I found out, no, it wasn't a live interview. It was pre-recorded. And then the next day it came out of all the different things going on. That was the first thing I said to Maurice. I said, wait a minute. If it wasn't a live broadcast, that means it was pre-recorded. So if they didn't like it, why did they air it?
Correct.
You know?
That's all I'm saying, Wanda. That's all I'm saying. So my point is, if you needed all of the answers to come in from the hierarchy and from everybody else, and you felt disrespected that the White House had circumvent the process, or usurp the process, then you could have at any point in time put that on the shelf and aired it in October or September once you got all the answers. I thought that she wanted to leverage this interview to ask him for something down the road. That's what I thought.
Right.
I didn't think that you would get rid of you. Let me ask you something. How could the owner of that station talk about she got the best interest of African Americans in this city when, number one, she was never exposed to the kind of poverty that this city, that people have raised themselves out of. Number two, there's probably 3 or 4 places, if you ask her if she's ever been, she doesn't know where they are. Probably don't know where the motorcycle clubs are all down West Philly and Southwest. You know what I mean? Probably don't. So what I'm thinking is you on air and you are pontificating as if you the voice. No, you're not the voice. The station is the voice because it was a station before you. It was Bishop Bigelow before you. It was Reggie Bryant before you. Mary Mason before you. Georgie Woods before you. And now you are nobody stepping out here in the streets. All you are is a decision making because you inherited something.
Right. Well, I'm going to stay positive about the owner. And I'm
I didn't say nothing negative about her. I'm saying
I know, right. But I'm going to go with the she said the normal stuff that someone would say, trying to save face and save the station. I wish on a more positive note going forward, because word has a big place to play in this election and how people are going to vote in Philly.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the deception is because we all look alike. You think you can manipulate the situation. If we're doing bad, no matter who's in office, then we're doing bad. You understand what I'm saying? I pose this question.
And we are, most definitely. Right.
I pose this question to Word because they support and they act like they're supporting an initiative. I say, so just tell me in the last 3 years, how many Republican male, women, and children have died at the hands of gun violence? Just tell me. Oh, we don't have those statistics. But you can tell me how many Democrats have died under y'all watch.
Right.
Right. Well, you got those statistics.
I think that this whole situation, people should be able to prevail with cooler heads, an apology, a warning, something. But to have Andrea to the point that she leaves is just not a good look for her, for the radio station. I'm hoping that they're able to come back to the table and talk and resolve whatever issue it really is, because it has to be more to this than just one interview. There's no way. Now, I'm not a journalist,
right.
So I've heard bits and pieces. There's no way in the world I'm going to believe that every time we hear black so-called radio station, that they're not scripting some of the stuff, or they're not letting their interviewer know or interviewee know some of the right. things that are going to be asked. So when you're interviewing someone this high up, given how he was at the debate,
right.
You would think that, yes, they would give some questions, since this is a local radio station and not a national radio
exactly.
station, and give some ideas. And from my understanding, Andrea decided to pick a few of their questions and a few of hers. It was a good interview, from what I heard. I don't know what people are expecting of her. Joe Biden sounded like he was lucid.
Exactly. There you
everything.
Go. There you go. I
and
needed to hear that from you.
Won.
And we Republicans. We Republicans. So it don't matter one way or the other for us, right, Wanda?
Yes. We need to have a black Republican show. They're
right.
putting everything else on Word.
Right.
Why don't they have a Republican show?
Well, we're gonna work. I don't know about Word, but we're gonna work on that. And we also
I hear what you're saying.
We want a Republican to sit on the board of the Philadelphia Housing Authority.
Yeah, and as far as the workers not wanting to come back to work, this is ridiculous. All the things they gained during COVID is wonderful, but now it's time to roll up your sleeves
and
come
back to work.
Because there was no agreement saying that when you stay home for COVID, you get to stay home forever. And if that's what they decide to do,
but this is a union town.
Exactly.
It's a union town, and they're going to go to war for that because y'all gave it to them.
If you need to stay home, be prepared to take a 25% pay cut.
Well, look, I'm going to take a commercial because I got to bring Miss Mary on. So thank you for calling.
Okay.
You got a home here on Monday between 2 and 3. All right?
Thank you so much for hearing me out.
No problem. Thank you. All right. I'm going to take a break and come back. And Miss Mary, you're up next.
Here is an important message for everyone who drives a motor vehicle. Every day, an average of 2 emergency responders are struck by vehicles while working on the road. Some don't survive. Others are critically injured and can no longer perform their life-saving jobs. In 2019, 44 emergency responders were struck and killed while working to help others on the road. Sadly, it looks like that number will be even higher in 2020. Firefighters, police officers, paramedics, tow truck operators, and every responder needs your help, and they need it now. Do your part to keep everyone safe on the road. When you see flashing lights of any color on the road ahead of you, slow down, move over, and give them room to work. It's the law in Pennsylvania. Police are cracking down and penalties for violators are on the rise. This message is brought to you by Penntime and the Beasley Media Group. Learn more about Pennsylvania traffic incident management at penntime.com.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up.
Okay, here we go. Miss Mary, how are you?
Good afternoon, Prince.
No, thank you for calling me. You know, these are gambles that fail. You know, I remember writing a book, Philly Roulette, The Gamble That Failed. If I didn't give you a copy already, then you should pick one up. These are gambles that will fail us in the long run because it's press, but it's negative press. And somebody used to say that negative press is good press because it's still press. But no, not when it comes to us. You could ruin us. As local as we are, as small as we are, when somebody gives your address out, when somebody gives your neighborhood out, this bad behavior, it castrates us. You know, it hinders us. There's just no way that I can't believe that there could not have been a conference room. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because you work for government at some point in time. Did they give you a verbal warning, then a written warning, then a suspension, then a... You know, none of that has taken place. I mean, could there have been an amenable situation where adults got into a room? There had to have been a mistake made somewhere.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you why. Word needs to reconsider Andrea Lawford Sanders' forced resignation.
Mm.
You know, as a state worker and a union shop steward for several years, they were required to go over policy of that radio station with all their employees. Apparently, from what I'm understanding, Andrea did not know the actual policy. Was it ever provided to her in written form?
Now, that's kind of hard. Now, listen, we've had three general managers already, right? There were three. This is the third one, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Right. So when did you have time to have that, what's it called, on-job training, OJT, the on-job training? Because I'm a UPS guy, and UPS has been number one in shipping packages based on its policies and procedures throughout the world for like a gazillion years. And then Amazon showed up and just shipped more packages. But the policy to walk around that truck and have 110 sign-offs before you drive that truck, and the uniform had to be clean, and the shoes had to be polished, and you couldn't have no facial hair, took the credit card and ran it across your face to make sure you didn't have no scruffles and stuff like that. Those names were important because the kind of morale you live by culturally was what you took to work.
And, and apparently the White House wasn't informed of the actual policy regarding journalists because they just now reported that they will not provide questions to journalists from now on based on what happened to Andrea. You know, so I'm looking at if there was a problem, it should have been addressed. And since her information was pre-recorded, they were required, Word was required to review the material, and they had the options of playing that information.
Correct.
No one forced
listening
them to
it
do
first.
That.
Listening to it first in its totality and scratching it.
Exactly.
And so, because they are, you know, and so here's my thing, because they're real sensitive, so they'll ban you because they said you said something about them somewhere else. When you talk about due diligence, when you talk about protocol, when you talk about policy, when you talk about information that will go out and be disseminated to a bunch of people, you get what you inspect, not what you expect.
And now Word has their show host running ads that knowing that the language is not correct on the air. I mean, the commercials, you know, indicating what's going on with Larry Krasner. You know, I've heard false information a lot of times on the radio station. So, I mean, if anything, they need to reconsider her forced resignation because apparently it wasn't provided to her with the options that she had available to her. This has ruined her entire career.
Yeah, do you see every time I open my phone, this is going national. This is like a viral situation here. And the problem that I have is that 6 months ago or a year ago, she had told you about her twins. She knows she's using social media to kind of give you a segue into who she is and stuff like that, and to make you feel more comfortable with talking about her. You call her mother, you know what I mean? She makes phone calls. You know, I went to a person to get my eyes checked out. You know, she refers people that she is going to. You know, so she did a whole lot of giving of herself for you to do so much to ruin her.
And she was on other shows. Apparently, it made a hit with Word Radio when she did obtain that interview with the president. You know, so, and now they're trying to, I guess, receiving some type of backlash. She also asked for former President Trump to come on.
If she had given us a little bit more time, we had sent it up the ladder. She'd given us some more time. She'd have had that interview because you already know between myself and George, there's not anything that she got the interview with Bruce Castor, who got $11 million for Fontability, the little girl that got shot outside of Philadelphia. They also were the team that represented Trump in the first victory that he had won. Mike and Bruce Castor. And so wherever she asked for, Mike Vanderveen and Bruce Castor. So we give her on both Republican side and the Democratic side the things that she may need, that she may ask for, and she probably would have wound up with Donald Trump, former president of the United States.
And she's been a show host that has been fair to not only the political people, but also just the average caller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no disrespect, no hanging up on. I mean, she shows respect to everyone that calls on that show. And for them to force her into a resignation, I think it's really unfair.
If how about the people who came to take her place? The people who came and sat at her seat to take her place, talking about the views of the host and the callers. And I'm like, wait a minute. She 6 months ago gave of herself to speak to you and Dr. Asante, because she cared about you not getting tenure and what you was going to do after this year. And she gave you a platform, almost a whole 30 minutes, if not more.
And now you're hearing about things are scripted. These were softball questions
that
she put out there. It wasn't, I got you. You know, come on. The people in these positions, they want to make a name for themselves. And being a journalist on television, radio, that is a cutthroat business. And we're seeing it played out. I don't care what programs you're listed on. You know, I've seen it done to Chaka Fatah's wife. You know, come on. And people need to realize they're out to get whatever positions that you're in or what achievement that you did for yourself. You know, nobody handed anything to Andrea Lawford Sanders. She had to work for all the things, the accomplishments.
She's had more problems in the city dealing with folks who look like her than she did in Abington, where she already knew even the folks who didn't look like her had an opinion, and she could work with that. Because if you got an opinion, it's up to me to show you a better way, or it's up to me to let you have your opinion. But here, what they did to her, and I'm going to let you have the last 30 seconds, was vicious. And if that's the game they want to play, then let the chips fall where they may. Take the gloves off. You got the last 30 seconds, Ms. Mary.
She needs enter into the room with word to make sure that they go over the actual policy, if it was handed to her prior to the interview, and if not, if it warrants maybe a suspension for a week without pay, then so be it. But not to force someone into resigning based on something that management failed to do.
Thank you, Ms. Mary.
That's my argument.
You always got a home here on Mondays from 2 to 3 on Life's a Gamble. Please pick up the book, Philadelphia Roulette, The Gamble That Failed. Your host, Melvin Prince-Jonican. Have a tremendous day.